Well, hello, this is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And one of the best and most distinctive voices in rock is about to release a new record with a brand new band. The record is called Fallen, the band is Archangel, and the voice belongs to none other than Zach Stevens. You know him from Sabotage and Circle the Circle, Machines of Grace, and of course the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It's my pleasure to spend some time with Zach and get the inside story of this really cool new project. Zach, welcome.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much.
I'm doing great. Now, the new band, Archangel, formed with you and Italian guitarist Aldo Lonabile from Secret Sphere when you guys were both working with Timo Tolkki. What made you guys click so well together?
Well, we just had a, you know, we both kind of have the same work style, you know, very relaxed. And, you know, it's a, we just like to get stuff done. I think that we worked efficiently together more than anything. I, you know, found that, you know, whether we, you know, of course we can't work in the same country. Mm-hmm. So you have to be efficient when you do everything. But, you know, with technology today, sending files and file sharing is no problem. So, you know, I basically just was working with him on, for the first time, on Timo Tolkki's Avalon on the Return to Eden album. I had sang songs before on the first Avalon album, but that was with a different label, so he switched over to Frontiers. So that's kind of how this whole relationship came together. So I was working with Aldo on Return to Eden, and, you know, I'm recording in Michigan, and he's writing songs with Timo out of Italy, and everybody's just kind of like, you know, Timo, everybody's all around the world. And we just, you know, kind of hit it off and, you know, have a very good working relationship and kind of see things the same way, similar ear. So, you know, I think the label kind of picked up on that, and they asked us, you know, if we'd like to do a project together. I know that Frontiers has a lot of project bands, whereas you do a project, but you're not necessarily a real band,
right,
or you don't go out playing shows. So, you know, I thought, okay, it kind of started like that. I thought that's what they had in mind, but Aldo was a big proponent of, you know, getting out there, kind of making it a little bit more, you know, maybe make it like a real band and go out and play shows and stuff like that. So that's what we're both used to. So I think that was another point where we came together in agreement and also in philosophy to be able to be, if you're going to do something, you know, do it the right way, do it in the way that we feel is right. That's like, be a real band and go play shows. So that's kind of what we built it into. Frontiers was very happy about that. Mm-hmm. I think they see a lot of their artists that are content with just putting out records or teaming up with, you know, and having project, which is fine. There's a good place for it. But I was happy to see this one go, you know, for the full circle, you know.
Yeah, and as a fan, that's what we love to see, too, the ability to, you know, listen to you guys and then see you perform the music. So that's really good to hear. And now for these songs, did you already have sort of the idea that would end up becoming the Fallen record in mind, or did that all come after you and Aldo decided to work together?
It all came afterwards. And we first started talking about this. I think the label hit us up with the idea or contacted Aldo back in the last part of 2018. So I basically had recorded everything earlier that year just for the, you know, for the two songs that I sang on, you know, Return to Eden. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess what happened was they released Return to Eden, and some of the songs that I sang on, they performed well with the audience and got, you know, so it all kind of worked out, and I think it got some attention of, you know, the label people. And then going into 2019, we just started writing everything from scratch. So it took probably the first 3 months, the first, you know, quarter of 2019 to get songs coming in. We had a good batch in the beginning, and then naturally you write about you know, five or six of them. We have writers inside the band, outside the band, mm-hmm. a big team of people. My wife, Catherine, writing the lyrics, coming up with the concept, even the band name. Mm-hmm. We had a big team of people getting their heads together, which is good. I kind of like a big team effort these days. I think that it puts everybody in control of the thing that they do best, and you can just concentrate on that one thing. And then before you know it, you've got a really nice project because you've got multiple people working on small areas of the project, but they're doing it with a lot of expertise. So,
and it all ends up fitting together.
Yeah, and it makes for the better project because I'm just a product of the guys that I've worked with in my career, and one of them, mm-hmm. you know, being the late Paul O'Neill. I've got so many things that I take from him that mm-hmm. he's had so much wisdom when it came to the business, and just little things that he's, you know, would say, hey, you know, young Zachary, I want to tell you something, you know. So then I just, you know, all those anecdotes just come together, and one of them was, young Zachary, let me tell you something. It's all about the album. If you don't try to make the best album possible, then none of the other stuff matters because it won't magically come together. If you scramble and scramble up a record and throw it together and piecemeal a bunch of junk and you're thinking about how fun it's going to be on tour, the tour probably won't even happen. So you have to really concentrate on making the best product that you can, and you do whatever it takes to do it. So I have a lot of resources at my disposal with mm-hmm. Archangel. So I just said, you know what? If we have a lot of personnel resources available to us, then let's, you know, use everything to its big, you know, to its full potential and biggest capacity. So it's a bigger workforce or team than I would ever have in Circle to Circle, because in Circle to Circle mm-hmm. it was kind of like me and maybe one other writer, maybe two, you know, at some point. And, you know, we kind of liked doing it that way, but it wasn't a big writing team. Now we probably have twice that much, you know, manpower mm-hmm. coming in. And, you know, the label situation is very favorable. Mm-hmm. We have a very, you know, Frontiers is a strong, very large independent, it's probably called an independent major label in Europe. So they have a lot of resources to be able to push things out there. So everything is just, we're just lucky that, you know, we have good people and, you know, we have good resources on all sides of the game. And
definitely.
I was happy to expand the team. And my role that I do in the band now with Archangel is very similar to the role that I had with Sabotage, which I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a detail, kind of like putting the fine, you know, details on. I'm a mixing consultant, a songwriting consultant, mostly concentrating on vocals mm-hmm. and obviously vocal performance and vocal melodies. And that's what I enjoy doing. I kind of like having the burden of the lyrics, which I think I'm okay, but not super fantastically great, and be able to just kind of take that burden off me a little bit so I can even concentrate more on the vocal aspect. So I couldn't be happier with how it's working with the team, you know?
Yeah, one thing I want to go back to, you mentioned your wife, Catherine, helping out with lyrics and the concept of this. Were you guys like, you know, did you have the idea that you wanted to do a project together, or again, was it something that just sort of developed organically when all of this was happening?
Yes, exactly. It developed organically mm-hmm. as the idea came. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, you know, Frontiers Records wants to put together a band. They said, we have no idea. It's up to you guys. It's mm-hmm. a blank slate. You have to come up with something and we will approve it. Come up with something good, okay, mm-hmm. So we can approve it. So all the pressure was sort of on us to, you know, and the guys in the band, Aldo and everybody, to try to come up with the best, you know, concepts mm-hmm. and everything possible. So we basically just, we were walking around one day, you know, around the neighborhood, walking out there, running, walking like we do, and just trying to, you know, just doing our normal routine. And I'm walking along and I'm like, I got this email. Wow. You know, what are we going to do? And she's like, well, that's awesome. Let's talk about it. You know, so it was kind of like just having discussions while walking around and, you know, kind of throwing out things, brainstorming. I said, hey, you know, you're great with lyrics and with the, you know, the mastery of the English language and getting across and with the imagery, you know, and you can really create that imagery that we need. I mean, would you be interested in just taking on the whole, you know, the whole lyrical, most of the lyrical? I think I wound up writing, what, maybe one or two songs of lyrics, maybe, out of 10, which is okay because that way I could put my strength into two, which makes it even stronger instead of spreading it out, which I don't really, you know. I'm kind of like, I used to hear interviews with Ronnie James Dio all the time, and, you know, he would always like, God, I hate writing lyrics. Oh, I love singing, but I don't like the lyrical part. Like, you know, but he did a good job. He did a great job on all aspects, but still, you know, you would hear that recurring theme, and I would hear those interviews and be like, God, I couldn't agree more. Right. Kind of just like really just specializing in the singing aspect. You know, like, I will do it. He's like, I'll do it if I have to, but... But you know what I'm saying? It's not always like a really enjoyable thing for, you know, it's like the country music industry. They usually don't have to worry about writing lyrics at all, and they're very happy with that. Some of them are singer-songwriters and good, and it, you know, and good for them.
A lot of outside writers contribute.
That's right. Yep. So it's like, okay, there's not anything too wrong with this. And when I heard that, you know, Ronnie, you know, I'm like, God, I couldn't agree more. You know, like I had similar complaints and stuff. But I could, you know, if I'm forced into it and, you know, You know, only when forced into that corner, but no. But no. And she goes, yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, all right, this is like better already. We got, you know, people doing, you know, various aspects and being able to concentrate on just a specialty area. So that was looking pretty good. And, it's, you know, we came up with like angel, archangel. No, not archangel. Everybody uses that. And then she will research a little bit more, say, archive. She goes, have you ever heard of Greek Gnosticism, like with Archon? And I'm like, that sounds cool. How do you spell that? You know, A-R-C-H-O-N. Okay, all right, all right. How about, and she goes, Archangel. And I went, that sounds kind of cool. And I said, well, yeah, I kind of like it. It sounds cool. You know, like I'm the guy in charge of seeing if something sounds cool. I don't
Everyone has a job, you know.
Right, yeah. I'm the one who gives the stamp of approval of sounds cool. Okay. So, you know, and then she's like, I can make a whole concept out of this because, you know, Gnosticism is one of those kind of forgotten religions of the ancient Greeks. And, you know, she's half Greek or her dad was 100% Greek. So, so I'm like, okay, all right, I'm buying this. And then we shared the, you know, we shared the proposal with the label and everything. And everybody was like, God, that's great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, get going. Yes, get going on that, you know, the label. So carry on quickly, quickly. So then everybody was kind of on board. So, you know, it worked good. I mean, she's done, you know, she had a song she wrote for Lifetime movies that was played on one of the Lifetime movies. She also had something out there that they, one of the songs played in the TV show Gotham. That she pitched and also was, you know, that was purchased by the, you know, so yeah, little things and plays, you know, plays keyboards, violin very well, just, you know, total musician type. And that's why we have so much in common. So we can just kind of throw this stuff around and we enjoy writing stuff on the side together. And, you know, so it's really been great for everything to work and have the family. It really is a musical family of two when you consider me and Kate, but, But yeah, that's kind of the background behind all that.
Well, that's great. And now, of course, Archangel isn't the only project you have going on. You recently wrapped up another winter tour with TSO. Now, while the other guys in Savatage were on stage with TSO from the beginning, it took you a while to come in as a full performing member of the band. Was that because of the other projects you had going on? You know, why did you feel the time was right, you know, in 2015 or so to start doing the tour full time?
Yeah, there was a lot going on. You know, in the beginning when, you know, the way that TSO kind of came about was mm-hmm. we had that almost accidental Christmas hit on the Dead Winter Dead mm-hmm. album for Sabotage in 96. It was Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224, our old standard, and we play it two times a night.
Yeah.
It's just the big song that started it all. And then at that time, you know, some radio stations in New York and Florida and all kind of, you know, kind of played the song. It was put out as a single to rock radio for Sabotage for that album.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a second, and it was a great idea by Paul. He just kind of snuck that thing in there, probably thinking, wow, if I can get some Christmas traction on this thing, maybe we have a way to build, you know, Sabotage
right.
or build the rest of the record. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, he always had little, almost like little afterthought ideas mm-hmm. like that that would wind up being a huge impact mm-hmm. on something. So, you know, we didn't have anything to follow it up with. Okay, it did. It kind of took off. All the mm-hmm. phones lit up. We had radio stations like, you got a hit here. Give us that next song. What is that next Christmas mm-hmm. song? We're only in the beginning of the Christmas season. Then he's like, uh-oh, we've got a bunch of really metal songs talking about mm-hmm. the breakup of the former Yugoslavia. So we knew that something would have to occur. So he said, I'll come up with something. So a few weeks later, he said, we're going to have to start a brand new thing, which dedicated to only Christmas mm-hmm. music. We were like, oh, wow, okay. So he said, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you know, and I'm like, oh. We were like, that sounds pretty cool. Well, he always knew he had a fascination with the, you know, the Trans-Siberian
right.
Railroad. He loves Russian history and Russian stuff. So it was like, okay, that makes sense based on what we know you like. Mm-hmm. Okay, so. In the beginning, it was like, well, we can't look just like Sabotage. So, unfortunately, young Zachary, if you don't mind, sing backup vocals on the records, but don't come out. I can't really have you coming out singing two or three records, you know, songs on the record,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to look like Sabotage. And people are going
right.
to say, what's the difference? So I said, I get it. You know, bring in a bunch of Broadway
mm-hmm.
performers, to write all Chris. So,
mm-hmm.
so that's basically what happened. So I kind of started knowing that I had to have a, you know, a little bit more of a background role
mm-hmm.
just by virtue of, it was just, you know, not, I don't know if it's a positive or negative. I was still participating in everything, but just by virtue of my position in Sabotage, could not come out looking just like Sabotage. So I get it. All right.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense when you think about it.
So then I had, yeah. And I had my young, you know, babies, at home, you know, my oldest daughter, she's 22 now, but back in that time, you know, she
mm-hmm.
was just small growing up, you know, kid. And then my, that's Cassidy. And then my second daughter, my youngest one, Zoe, was born in 03. So that kind of puts us right into the meat of the beginning of the touring of
mm-hmm.
TSO. So I kind of wasn't really interested in leaving too much at that time with the new little baby coming along. So I kind of just was able to have my cake and eat it, too. I got to stay home with the babies and see them grow up. And now they're 22 and 16. And, you know, I worked in other, you know, kind of dabbled in other industries and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. You know, healthcare background. I have a psychology degree. Started getting into that kind of thing for a little bit. Still doing Circle to Circle because the first Circle
mm-hmm.
to Circle record was in 03. So, yeah, other stuff started popping up. I could kind of tour when I wanted to with Circle to Circle, kind of like, again, kind of got to be picky and maybe would do a summer tour of Europe and a couple of shows in the States or something like that. But it wasn't anything that had to tie me, you know, too
right.
awfully down. And then Sabotage kind of stopped. Right around 2000
mm-hmm.
is kind of when that activity slowed down because obviously you had this monster that was brewing and taking off with TSO.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like a transition from Sabotage to TSO. So it was very interesting. I still worked on, I even had a song I sang in the year 2000 on the Beethoven's Last Night,
right.
which was the first,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which was the first non-Christmas
mm-hmm.
album for TSO.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, so many little things, but yet still involved on the back end. And then in 2015, when Wacken, you know, the largest open-air
mm-hmm.
metal festival in the world, said, we want to have for the first time, both of our main stages fired up, and we want to have TSO and Sabotage playing at the same time. Now, that got Paul O'Neill very interested because he was always interested in breaking records, you know, trying to get, you know, it probably could have got us into the Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know if there's ever been a thing where one band split into two bands and shared both main stages. I don't know. It probably wouldn't make it. But that kind of stuff was always something that kind of would fire Paul up, you know. He liked to be the first with the most, with the best, with a crazy, you know, blow it up, you know, fog it, smoke it up, blow it up type idea. So that was a great time for me as the lead vocalist of Sabotage, and one of the two, to come back, me along with John Oliva, to come back and give everybody what they want to see in front of 90,000 people, which is really, really where my wheelhouse is all about. That's where I'm most comfortable. I'm more comfortable in front of 90,000 people than even, you know, but I like all size shows, but still, I really know how to handle an audience like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just really feel, you know, that's my comfort zone. So it was a good time to come back. And he said, hey, if you're going to come back and do this, you might as well just come out and tour with TSO. Are you ready to, you know, come on back full time? And I said, you know, it's the right time. My kids are older. I can devote more time. I can, you know, because you have to be willing to, you know, sacrifice that. You don't have holidays anymore.
Yeah, it's a big chunk of time.
Yeah, you don't have, you got Thanksgiving with the family, the band family, and which is great. We really have a tight bond within the bands. That's with an S, that is TSO. And now it's not only two, it's three bands now. They made the announcement they're adding a third band. So you're going to have three bands of family having turkey on Thanksgiving, and we have Christmas. We don't play on Christmas Eve or Christmas, and we don't play on Thanksgiving. But those are one of our few days off thrown in that busy schedule of the two shows a day for the most part. So, yeah, you just have to make, you know, I felt like it was the right time to make a commitment and a holiday sacrifice, if you will. So I've been, you know, so I've been in there for five, going on 6 years. I'm ready to do it again, and happy to be doing it, you know, after almost 30 years in the business. I think it's been 92. So what is 30 years, 2022?
Yeah, getting close.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So 28 years since I first got called up as a, and I was like 26, I think, at the time, or 25 or 26, but to come be part of Sabotage. So, you know, it's just a great, you know, I couldn't be happier. And, you know, as long as I can, you know, we got to, you know, as long as you're able and your instrument is at the level and you're taking care of yourself and everything, and, you know, I'm just overwhelmed to still be able to do it at my age.
And now, you mentioned the third lineup of TSO. Where will that tour? Will that sort of hit U.S. cities that the East and West don't get to?
Well, that's kind of the idea. We don't know a lot about it right now. My guess is there's places in the middle of the country that just don't get quite reached by both bands trying to expand out from both the West Coast and the East Coast, left and right, going to the center. So the East Coast has to stretch out going west to the center, and the West Coast band has to stretch out sometimes way east.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't continue to have that kind of stretch in a country this size.
Right.
And you're going to miss things in the middle. And also, there are so many venues in the middle of the country that don't have the big markets. Like, they don't have the ability to get 12 to 15,000 people two times a day. Like we enjoy on the East Coast, which is really the true market of the band. That's the original true market of the band, is what the East Coast does. Yeah. And then we expand it out to West, and they've built an amazing market in California, Washington, Arizona, and all that. So this is going to be, from what I can tell, being able to play the venues that are the small, maybe 6,000 to 8,000.
Okay, that makes perfect sense, yeah.
Yeah. Right, in the smaller markets where you just don't have, you know, it just doesn't make sense to try to book a, you know, a arena show. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes the venues around the areas that this band will play, that's the only venue. So that's the top seating capacity. So I think it's a cool idea, and I think it's a good business model. And we're going to see. We'll be just like you. I'll be just like you, seeing all the details as they unfold.
And since your return to TSO, they really have started adding a lot more Savatage material to the set. What's it feel like when you're back up there with Chris Caffrey and Jeff Plate at your side, playing those songs that mean so much to that original core audience?
Well, it means so much to us. I think it's the first thing I would have to say. I feel my most comfortable singing them. It's just where I come from. You know, I feel like it's just like being thrust right back into the days of Savatage, you know, into the original time. Or, you know, I hope that there's time to come for Savatage. I really do. I hope that those days of making even records and performing is not over by any stretch of the imagination. And as a sentiment shared by the guys in the band, it's pretty much just kind of coming down to business now as to whether, you know, where we play, but it looks like business is going to, it looks like to me business could be good, so I'm staying positive about it.
We all are.
But playing the songs in TSO is the next best thing, and it feels just like Savatage. I mean, that's the discussions I have with the guys, when even in the TSO setting and on that stage, and even though it is obviously no doubt TSO production, whenever we play Handful of Rain or Chance or anything that they, you know, it changes, and they put a variety of the different songs in there, and there's so many things I think that you could potentially put in that would fit so great that we haven't even taken on yet, that when I'm actually in the, you know, in the moment, you know, in the song, singing it, there is no difference. It feels like, it really just feels like Savatage to me. I mean, as soon as I start singing the song, I'm no longer in the TSO realm. I have now been teleported into the Savatage planet. So that's the way it is for me. And I tell Jeff, you know, Jeff Plate back there, or Chris Caffrey, one of our Savatage brethren, I just told Chris this past too. I was like, man, when we're playing the Savatage songs, you might, as far as I'm concerned, we're in Savatage.
Well, you know, for those of us who were there in the clubs in 92 during, you know, the Edge of Thorns and that era, it feels the same for us, you know, in the audience too. So it's a cool thing.
Awesome. And I love the fact that the contingent of people that's getting familiar with the Savatage history of the of TSO is growing. I see it. I see it in people that would, you know, that would became TSO fans. They don't know much about Savatage. Let's face it. There's a huge, probably the majority contingent of TSO fans didn't really know much about Savatage. But now they're all asking about it. Now that I've been in the band 5 years and going to, you know, we're going to keep on trucking. And, you know, I see it. I see, you know, I hear about it in the signing lines. You know, we do those signing lines after the night shows. And, you know, I see from many people who had no clue who Savatage is, now they're all asking about it. Was that a Savatage song, that this one? Was that? Yes, okay. I can tell by the sound now. It's so similar but yet different. And I'm like, okay, now you're learning. And, you know, I'm just getting all this feedback from, and I can see that people are just getting super interested in it. You know, even if they didn't, not like me and you, if they weren't like me and you, we didn't have all that Savatage history. They're coming along, so we should be proud of our little, you know, students learning about Savatage.
Well, Zach, I can't thank you enough. Archangel, the album has fallen. It's just a strong melodic rock record. I definitely recommend it. It's out February 14th everywhere, streaming, physical copies. You guys are hitting the road in Europe in the spring. Any plans to come stateside?
We are. There's nothing right now that. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I forgot. I had one more right now. We don't have a U.S. tour plan yet, but believe me, we're taking it one step at a time, and we're just trying to build it. So it wouldn't be surprising that we get it at some point after the album's released. So we're looking forward to planning that too.
Well, I won't keep you any longer. Thank you so much for the time. Again, the album is Fallen. The band is Archangel. It's out everywhere February 14th. Zach, best of luck, and we'll definitely catch you on the road.
Thank you so much. Appreciate everything.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye, Jeff.